Thank you very much. I really appreciate this opportunity to present on behalf of the state of Louisiana this particular drill exercise, which we conducted in the fall. Although I coordinated the exercise, it certainly would not have been possible, as you will soon see, without the full participation of the Department of Health and Hospitals and Office of Public Health. But it certainly highlights how Louisiana is trying to push the envelope with our immunization registry. I'm going to talk specifically about how our immunization registry played a role in the drill, but as you'll see, it was a statewide comprehensive drill. So if any of you all have questions about the many other departments and agencies and implications that this drill had, I can address those afterwards. So what I'm going to do just briefly, I'm going to go through a drill overview, the goals of what the drill was intended to do, the challenges that we faced in terms of the specific immunization registry that we were moving forward with, the general system requirement that we needed to use our immunization registry during the drill, what solution we picked to fit the drill objectives. I'm going to talk a little bit about the real-time data collection that we used, the event results, and then looking ahead, what we're going to start doing for the future. As many of you know, there was a pandemic flu drill requirement that each state conduct a influenza clinic, two of them, one in each of your CRI cities and then one just outside the CRI city. And then it suggested that you use your point of dispensing or, you know, strategic national stockpile principles to set up these clinics, and that they wanted you to measure the throughput of each of these clinics. Well, as was mentioned, as Gene mentioned, Louisiana has extensive experience in mass vaccination clinics, especially after Hurricane Katrina. Many people in this room probably volunteered for some of those clinics. Just an example, after Hurricane Katrina, in the 2 months intervening, we had to give 65,000 influenza vaccination in shelters following the hurricane. So we felt we had extensive experience in mass vaccination clinics. Therefore, we took that pandemic flu requirement and we challenged. Louisiana is separated into 9 public health regions. So rather than just do 4 clinics, we have 2 CRI cities. We challenged each of our 9 public health regions to each host a mass vaccination clinic on a particular day. One of the things we challenged them to do was we said you can't use a public health or a government building. In addition to that, we said you can't pre-set up. You only have 2 hours to set up the clinic before it runs. And in addition, we opened the State Emergency Operations Center, and using the immunization registry, we collected real-time data on the drill. So, again, matching the objectives, what our goals were for this drill was to open 9 simultaneous community point of dispensing sites. We gave our regions a limited setup time. We used the point of dispensing principles to set up, operate, and evaluate each clinic site. We applied for a grant from the CDC Cooperative Agreement, and we purchased a large quantity of flu influenza vaccine. So we opened these clinics up to the public and did a very large media campaign and said, if you want a free flu vaccine, come stand in line, which scared our regions to death. what we were hoping to do was many of you know that there's numbers thrown out all the time, and what we were hoping to do at each of these sites was vaccinate 200 people per hour. And again, we opened the State Emergency Operations Center and used our immunization registry to collect real-time data to evaluate each of these sites. Again, this was a point of dispensing drill, not a public health influenza clinic. So we had them set up as a point of dispensing site, and you can see that's one of our teams. But what I'm actually going to point out is not the good-looking people from Louisiana. You can see behind them, this particular site is a community center. It's a large atrium in a community center. Again, using those core pod principles, there was full communications at each of these sites using radios. They were allowed to go out beforehand and test internet connectivity and whether their cell phones would work or not. But again, this is them 2 hours before the drill is supposed to start setting up communications. So the challenge, again, what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk specifically about the immunization registry's role in the drill. There's all kinds of implications to the strategic national stockpile, to pod principles, to emergencies, to volunteer participation. You can ask me those questions later. So as many of you know, collecting patient and immunization data with paper forms has always been problematic. It's time consuming, the data is handled at least twice, whether you take it, the person fills it out, you review it, it goes in a box, and then possibly at some later point it gets entered into a computer by someone else. It's often inaccurate with illegible forms, the difficulties transcribing. Inefficient communication is required to manage multiple sites. You can't do 9 sites with paper forms and have anything but just an overall patient count if you were lucky. And of course, that data is really not available other than a clicker, which told you how many people walked by for real-time inspection. I have to tell you, from each of our sites, there really was some skepticism about, again, we made them use non-public health sites that were not connected to the internet. They had to use a wireless application. So we had some skepticism and resistance to using a paperless data collection wireless during a mass immunization event where we invited the general public. So if it went wrong, it went wrong in front of the general public. In addition to that, they had no idea how many people would come. So there was some fear about using our immunization registry in that situation, and every single site had a big form of paper forms just in case things went wrong. So I'm going to talk just briefly about our registry. Many of you know the Louisiana Immunization Network for Kids Statewide Link System is our regular childhood immunization registry, which is fully feature-rich. It involves both public and private providers. It's internet-based. But you can see how using such a system might be cumbersome during a mass immunization event, because that's not what it's intended to do, give a single vaccination to a single person who's standing in line. But again, the success of our paperless reporting was absolutely essential to give that real-time data to our upper administrators of the state to make decisions in case, you can imagine during a pandemic, we would need this kind of information and we would need it real-time. Oh, and just briefly on that last slide, we wanted to show that using an electronic system was no more time-consuming or burdensome than using a paper form, and the benefits outweighed using that paper form. So 3 systems make up the Louisiana Immunization Registry System. As I talked about, the full link system, which is our full immunization registry. For this drill and for previous strategic national stockpile drills, we have created what we call the mass immunization module, which is a few screen snapshot of our immunization registry when you're trying to interact one intervention during an emergency. Say that's during an anthrax event or during pandemic influenza. You have a much more limited amount of things that you're going to do. Therefore, it's kind of a snapshot of our full immunization registry. The real benefit of that, though, is you get the full benefit the full features of the full immunization registry. And then we also have a mass immunization standalone, which fits on a thumb drive that you could actually run our registry from a thumb drive if you didn't have an internet connectivity or you didn't have wireless connectivity. Together, these systems can eliminate the problems of paper data collection and provide real-time or delayed electronic information for your emergency operations center. So again, the full system is our statewide information system. It provides extensive reporting and querying on patients, vaccinations, vaccine inventory levels by facility. The Emergency Operations Center typically uses this system at the level during an event to determine patient flows and vaccine inventory levels. And it's accessible via the Office of Public Health Network or via the internet. It includes wireless, Wi-Fi, cellular, air card, et cetera. Again, like I said, the mass immunization module is a snapshot of our full immunization registry when you're going to do one intervention during an emergency. It accesses the same database as links. It can search against patients in the full link system. It's a different interface designed specifically for mass immunization or mass prophylaxis event. We have used it in an SNS drill to dispense Cipro and doxycycline during an anthrax event or a plague event, I believe. Again, this is accessible via the OPH network or via the internet, including wireless, Wi-Fi, cellular, air card, et cetera. And then again, we have the standalone version of the immunization registry. And this is, I'll talk about a lesson learned from the drill about using the standalone version when you still do not want to do paper. Again, it's no software to install on the PC or notebook. It fits on a thumb drive. It exports data to text files, patients' vaccinations and contraindication, which you then upload later to your full immunization registry, again, eliminating the use of paper and double entry. So what did we do? We decided to use the mass immunization module, which is a web-based module to links. This is the middle one. We had each of these 9 sites set up in community sites, and they had to be wireless, accessing the internet and using the mass immunization module. There's only 3 screens that we used: a search, so that you could see if someone was already in the immunization registry so you wouldn't have to re-enter them, an add patient screen in case you didn't find them, and a select vaccination and optionally contraindications, and then there's just a button to save and search for the next in line. You can see that just that brief three screens, which I'll show you here, is less than 20 total possible data elements, and that's in the most complicated patient. The date and social security number were auto-masked, and there's even a feature where you could just put in someone's address, add their zip code, and the city and state would auto-populate. You wouldn't have to do that. So we found on average, and this is something we already knew, that it took 1 minute, less than 1 minute, to search, add a new patient, select and save data while patient is in line. Again, this is just doing one intervention. I'm going to show you these three screens. Patient search, first name, last name, date of birth. That's it. Patient is not in the registry. You can see records found zero. You click the button, add a new patient. Third screen, red fields. First name, last name, and date of birth are auto-populated from the first time you entered it. You then enter their street, their zip code, their phone number, and the city and state auto-populate. Then you go down to where it says vaccinations add. In this particular instance, we had both adult, we had two types of adult vaccinations and one type of pediatric vaccinations. That's why we have that box there. In other events, when you just simply had a single vaccination, that would be the only one that would pop up. Obviously, the date and the manufacturer and the lot was in fact preloaded for all the sites. And then you just click save, and then you move to the next patient in line. So I wanted to show you, you can see that these people are very relaxed. That's because this is during the setup, and those are actually employee. You know, the first thing you do in a point of dispensing site is vaccinate the employees who are going to work in the, so you can actually see that one of those people has a vest on, and the two people in back are very relaxed, waiting for the clinic to start. But again, what I'd like you to notice is not the people, but what's behind them. This is actually in a very, very large church. You can see the piano and the altar and the choir chairs behind that. So they really are using a community site that they had been to one time before. This is a different clinic, and I just wanted to show you the complexity of some of these sites. You can see all the vaccination stations down the middle there and the crowd sort of gathering on the right. Although the mass immunization module seems very simple, it does actually provide the manager working links at each particular site, several features, the ease of use, on-site reporting, they can do patient names, counts by facility and date, and all the patient detail, demographics and vaccination by facility and date. Again, they have the full querying power of our main immunization registry while using this front end. Now, what I'd really like to talk about is for the Emergency Operations Center, which was in Baton Rouge. We had each of these nine sites running simultaneously. They were collecting real-time data. There were links managers at the Emergency Operations Center monitoring the activities as they went along. Again, they had the full power of the immunization registry. What we collected, and I could spend all day showing you charts and graphs of the different things that were collected, real-time patient flow by site, just overall numbers by site, real-time patient demographics by site. We could and had charts of age, sex, by site, but then we also had by home parish. As I said, we only opened nine sites. There's 64 counties or parishes in Louisiana. We could tell how many people traveled from their home parish to each of these sites. Real implications during a pandemic, telling you how far people are willing to travel to come get a free vaccination or whether they're willing to travel at all. But an additional data point that we really did not expect during this drill was to know vaccine inventory around these sites during the drill. And I'm going to go through that. So, event results, what happened? As Gene mentioned, things went a little crazy. we expected to do 200 people per hour. We purchased about 13,000 doses of vaccine, thinking that would be a nice overage. We expected 200 patients per hour for the six-hour period at each of these sites. We knew some would be more, some would be less, and that we might have to transfer vaccine from one of these pod sites to another. The actual count for the 6 hours was almost triple that. We gave just over 27,000 vaccinations in the 6-hour period at these nine sites. Some of the sites hit over 600 patients per hour. Again, I can talk to you all about what that meant for pod planning and the fact that we had to bring in accessory staff and really roll with the punches on this. But the real success of this was how well the immunization registry performed. 92% of all of those 27,000 records were entered in real time. One of the sites had an egg using internet connectivity that went down for about four of the hours. Those people, although the primary mechanism of internet connectivity went down, they were able to actually ride on local neighborhood networks and enter about a fourth of the data in real time. Then once the communication ability was brought back up, they had all of that data entered within 24 hours. The accuracy of the data obviously was incredibly highly satisfactory. You had the person in front of you with their date of birth and their address. Backup plan, paper forms were used when the internet connectivity was lost at the one facility. We did not have and did not use the standalone registry that I talked about earlier. But certainly everyone, including upper administration, was convinced of the benefits of paperless reporting. Due to real-time entry in the mass immunization module, we realized around hour two that we were very quickly going to run out of vaccine, not just at one or two sites, but every single one of the nine sites was going to run out of vaccine, probably within hour three, possibly hour four. Having this real-time data at the Emergency Operations Center and the full power of the Lynx system allowed the Lynx users at the Baton Rouge site to assess, to say, okay, well, do we transfer vaccine from other points of dispensing sites? No, we can't do that. Everyone's gonna run out. So what they did was they assessed local stockpiles at public health units of extra flu vaccine and used that vaccine to transfer that to these point of dispensing sites. In addition to that, that wasn't enough. At some of these sites, they ran out of vaccine at all the local public health units transferring. So through our vaccine for children providers, we actually transferred vaccine from a private provider to one of these emergency sites to complete the drill. And I'm happy to report that not a single site ran out of vaccine. Now, the next Monday, we had to replace a lot of vaccine in a lot of places, but we did not run out of vaccine and no one was turned away, doing almost triple what we expected. So looking ahead, just some lessons learned about using your immunization registry. Be prepared. Have your information technology staff as a core member of the drill preparation team. We had IT members at each of these nine sites going out beforehand and assessing internet connectivity. And then we still had one site go down even after a successful test. So having your IT staff in a previous drill, we had used contacted our IT staff. On the day of the drill, they were doing an email test and shut down the email for 2 hours during the drill. So it's very important to have your IT staff as part of your drill preparation team. One thing I think we would have done differently is had the standalone application on the thumb drive, particularly at the one site that went down. We did have to collect paper, and then public health employees stayed all night and entered that data. If we had used the standalone system again, which was not available to us at the time, they could have entered that data at the time, and as soon as internet connectivity came back up, we could have immediately deposited that in the registry. So definite lesson learned. And then always have paper forms as your backup. You just don't know what's going to happen. Paper always works as a last resort. And just in conclusions, I wanted to talk about some lessons learned here in using our immunization registry. It truly was the highlight of this drill. We have a list of successes that runs about a page and a half, and a list of lessons learned that's about 15 pages long for this drill. One thing I wanted to show you was some of the sites were very proactive and had a line for people who couldn't get out of their car or had mobility issues that didn't want to come in the main site. And you can see here in this that there's a nurse giving a vaccination and there's a nurse writing on paper. That is because it's a beautiful day in Louisiana. You can't see a laptop out in the sun, nor is there any coverage for that. nor were we willing to put a laptop user in the dumpster that's right there behind this person. So, you know, there were hundreds of lessons learned in terms of mass dispensing and point of dispensing that we really truly learned a lot from. But sometimes you have to, you know, expect the unexpected. So there's actually a Lynx user just inside the door there entering those paper records for us. So in conclusion, using our immunization registry during this mass immunization drill was a huge success. It allowed for real-time data analysis that was not only used by our upper administration, but the media really picked up on this, and you could tell the media not only real-time results, but you could give demographics for the people who were showing up. We really had a lot of participation from young, healthy adults who took off from work and came over, which was interesting. The users reported that it was no more complex or time-consuming than writing on paper, and then you don't have the subsequent data entry while getting the benefit of real-time data analysis. And the public and media was very, very supportive of the entire drill and really appreciated those real-time data results that were coming out as well. And just my contact information. Ruben Tapia, who's here at the conference, who's the program manager of the immunization program. But also, our immunization registry was designed and built for us and now maintained by Scientific Technologies Corporation, who was a partner with us in right from the drill planning stage in making sure this went off and was a success. And so I think, although Mike's not here, Eric and Danielle are here as well. If anybody had any specific technical questions about the actual workings of the registry and how we did this, they're here as well to answer questions. Thank you.
I think we have time for a couple of questions. I have to say, one of the things I love about NIC is that you leave kind of feeling like ready to go and that you can do anything. And I think the session this morning with these two exceptional examples of preparedness and immunization registries and great accomplishments is very inspiring. So I want to thank our speakers, and we can take some questions. Is it possible to turn the lights down a little bit so we can see the questioners, or maybe not?
Good morning. Quick question for the Louisiana speaker. Were your screening for contraindications electronic as well, or did you screen on paper forms?
Right in the middle. We did not use a paper form. Each of these clinics were paperless, but there was a screening form at the check-in table. So a nurse was actually verbally asking people for those contraindications, and they did not move forward in the line unless they were screened.
Yes, Dr. Welch, congratulations on a very bold, to say the least, experiment. Considering where you live and the experiences your community has had, I congratulate you on that.
Thank you.
Did you have any chance by any measure to get an assessment of the cost per inoculation for this exercise?
Yes, those calculations are still being done. The cost of the vaccine was actually fairly nominal. If you count the vaccine that we pre-purchased for the drill and then the significant overage we had to use from the state stockpile, it was about, you know, $30,000-$35,000. But then, due to the fact that these sites were so incredibly busy, virtually every public health employee eventually got called to participate in the drill. So if you, although we conducted the drill on a normal work day, there were still allowances that had to be made. I would say that the overall cost of the drill, excluding normal staff time, was $150,000. And then, in addition to that, it was fully evaluated both internally and externally.
This is for Dr. Welch. I have two quick questions. Was this to fulfill your threat preparedness grant? And secondly, as your state came up with a medical and non-medical plan, if you're overwhelmed, and what triggers that?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the first question.
Was this to fulfill your threat preparedness grant doing the clinic, the immunizations?
I think you're asking, did we use our CDC cooperative agreement?
Was that the requirement of why you had this immunization?
I see. The requirement came out of actually the pandemic influenza grant that, okay. that each state conduct two influenza clinics, but we took it, you know, obviously four steps beyond what the requirement was. And then, yes, in our point of dispensing, in our strategic national stockpile and cities readiness initiative, we do have both the medical and the non-medical model. Fortunately, using flu vaccine, definitely, you know, since you have to have the one person there and a nurse, and the contraindications probably in any situations would stop that person from being vaccinated, you sort of always would have to use this pseudo-medical model to make sure everyone was screened properly.
Okay. Well, I'm going to
Hello, Jean.
Oh, I'm sorry. One more question, then we have to do the housekeeping announcements.
I wanted to ask Dr. Welch whether you captured consent signatures at all from people getting vaccinated, whether you had to do that or how you did that.
We got around that.
You what?
What our goal was.
We got around.
Again, like I could talk for days about, you know, it took us almost a year to prepare for this. And in Louisiana, we do need to capture the signature, but it's the signature of the nurse giving the vaccination
to the patient,
saying that they were informed of the contraindications and informed of the vaccine. Okay. And through an emergency power by the governor, and we worked with our HIPAA team in Louisiana, for the 6 hours that the drill run, they said we still had to fully comply with all of those requirements, and all we did not have to do was capture the signature.
Okay.
So we captured the signature of each vaccinating nurse a single time and used that for the entire drill.
And you didn't have to capture a signature for reporting either, like consent for reporting to your registry?
No.
Neither
one? Ours is an opt-out registry. So each person, as they walk up, that's their consent to be in the registry.
So you didn't, it wasn't an informed consent then. It wasn't like you had
to say
to them,
"No,
we want to report
we want to
this
capture it.
And
no,
we want
didn't.
Your consent." So basically you didn't do a consent process then.
Right. We basically went to the governor's office and said, we want to waive every single bit of paper here. And so we had laminated sheets with the HIPAA requirements for both the people giving vaccinations and receiving vaccinations. And everything was laminated, but no one had to sign a thing.